Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, July 6, 2023. 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. Therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do the right thing, worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom that you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, we are in the first paragraph, verses 1 through 4, which is a very important, unique, and special paragraph. The Apostle John is giving a warning to members of the royal family of God, to all of you as believers in Jesus Christ. And the warning is to analyze or test the spirits. Now the word there in the Greek is pneuma, which is very versatile in the New Testament scriptures. P-N-E-U-M-A. It's used over seven different ways in the New Testament scriptures. It can be for breath and breathing and blowing. It can be used for God the Holy Spirit. It can be used for the human spirit and in the human being. It can be used for communicators of the Word of God. It can be used for influential speakers. Now, it's used in a very special way by the Apostle John, 1 John 4, 1 through 4. It's used for people, communicators, influential speakers, and are the testing that John wants you to do, test them, analyze them, examine. Are they being influenced by God, the Holy Spirit, sound doctrinal communicators, or are they being influenced by demons, false teachers, false prophets? So we are commanded to analyze, examine, and distinguish between spirits, sound doctrinal Bible teachers influenced by God the Holy Spirit, and false teachers, influential speakers who are influenced by demons. This is where we are in 1 John 4, 1 through 4. Let's start at verse 1 with the corrected translation. Beloved ones, royal family of God, stop believing any and every, and the word there is pneuma, spirit, influential speaker, communicator of the word of God. But analyze the spirits, these influential speakers, these communicators of God's word, whether they are from God, because many false prophets, many false teachers have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system. Verse 2. This is how the Spirit of God is recognized. You can tell if the communicator is influenced by God, the Holy Spirit, and here's how you can tell that. Every spirit, every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, he is from God. In other words, there was a real problem in John's day, Gnosticism and Gnostics. And one of the Gnostics was right in John's congregation, Cerinthus. And he had his own brand of Gnosticism, Cerinthian Gnosticism. And he was leading many, many believers into the cosmic system. And one thing about Gnosticism, they denied the deity of Jesus Christ. They did not believe that Jesus Christ was God. They denied the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ. They denied the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. So all of these things, this is actually a polemic against Gnosticism in John's day and in his congregation. So he says, this is how the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, is recognized. Every spirit, every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, his hypostatic union, undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. But, verse 3, but every pneuma, every persuasive speaker, every false teacher who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus of the God-breathed scriptures, in other words, orthodox Christology and soteriology, he absolutely is not from God. Indeed, this false teaching keeps on being the spirit of the Antichrist, about whom you have heard that he is coming. And that's as far as we've gone in our exegesis, that far. And at that point, the Apostle John is telling them, I have taught you eschatological doctrine over and over and over again. I've taught you about the church age and the dispensation we're living in. I've taught you about the rapture of the church, and after the rapture is going to come the tribulation period, 7 years in length, divided into two parts, the first 3.5 years and the last 3.5 years, which is called the Great Tribulation. And he's taught about the fact that in the tribulation, Satan will have a human being come on the scene that is will become the worldwide dictator. And his name is the Antichrist. And John taught about the Antichrist of the tribulation again and again and again. And he taught about the tribulation. He taught about the second advent. He taught about the millennial reign of Christ for 1,000 years after Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent. He taught eschatological doctrine. And that's what he's saying here. Keep on being the spirit of the Antichrist, about whom the Antichrist of the tribulation, you have heard that he is coming. He's coming. John is living in the church age, and he's not in the church age. That the Antichrist is coming after the rapture in the tribulation period. Now, we have in this paragraph persuasive speakers, false teachers. And these persuasive speakers, these false teachers, do not acknowledge and teach orthodox Christology and soteriology. They reject and distort the deity of Jesus Christ, the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ, the hypostatic union of Christ, the impeccability of Christ, the salvation work of Christ on the cross. They absolutely are not from God, and therefore they are totally divorced from the grace and the power of God. The rejection and distortion of orthodox Christology and soteriology, that is the spirit of the Antichrist. The Antichrist of the tribulation is the ultimate manifestation of false teaching. The many false teachers of today in the church age, and we have many false teachers in the church age today, they are his precursors. John's congregation has already been taught about the end times, eschatological doctrine, and they know all about the Antichrist of the tribulation, and they know he is coming in the tribulation. John contrasts the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit influencing sound doctrinal teachers, verse 2, with the Spirit of the Antichrist in verse 3. Well, that brought us to a study of the doctrine of the Antichrist, and we got started in it. We noted in the doctrine of the Antichrist, point 1, the word, antichristos. Antichristos, it's a compound word made up of anti, A-N-T-I, and that means against, and Christos, C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S, and that is Christ. So antichristos literally means against Christ. That's point one. An antichrist is someone who is against the Lord Jesus Christ. Point two was antichrist in the church age. We're living in the church age. Church age began at Pentecost. Church age ends at the rapture of the church. And we are living in the church age. And there are many antichrists in the church age as we speak. So we studied point two, the Antichrist in the church age. In the church age, Antichrist refers to any believer who lives and functions in Satan's cosmic system. So Antichrist is synonymous with being the enemy of the cross, Philippians 3:18. It's synonymous with being the enemy of God, James 4:4. It's synonymous with being the hater of God, John 15:23-25. These believers are called antichrist, and John has already taught that in 1 John 2:18-22. 1 John 2:18, he says, children, students, it is the last hour. Now, what is the last hour? From the first advent to the second advent, a very unique period of time. And just as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming in the tribulation, even now Even now in the church age, many antichrists, believers living in the cosmic system, exist. And from this fact, we have come to know that it is the last hour. And then John taught again in 1 John 2:22. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah? This one is Antichrist. He is against the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who denies and repudiates the Father and the Son. And, of course, our verse, 1 John 4:3. We haven't exegeted the whole verse. When we finish the verse, at the end of the verse, he says, and now, at the end of 1 John 4:3, and now in the church age, he, the spirit of Antichrist, false teachers, are already in the world. They keep on being in the world right now. So he's taught this in 1 John 2:18, 1 John 2:22, 1 John 4:3. And when we finish 1 John, we only have chapter 4 and chapter 5. When we finish 1 John, guess what we're going to teach next? 2 John. So turn over to 2 John. 2 John chapter 3. Oh, well, I'm glad you. I thought I lost all of you. There's only one chapter. 2 John verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. In other words, again, these were the Gnostics in John's day. They rejected the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. That greatest miracle of all time that took place on that very first Christmas. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. So John has been teaching this in 1 John 2, 1 John 4. He's going to teach it again in 2 John verse 7. When we finish 2 John, we're going to teach 3 John. And after that, 4th, 5th, and 6th John. All right, I just wanted to know if you're with me. That's okay. And then point 3 is the Antichrist in the tribulation. The Antichrist in the tribulation. And we are partway through point 3. We noted, first of all, subpoint 1, the Antichrist in the tribulation is one person. He is an unbeliever. And he has sold himself totally to the ruler of this world, Satan. He is Satan's man to rule planet Earth. So the Antichrist in the tribulation is one person, an unbeliever, living in the cosmic system. 2, subpoint 2, he sells himself out to the devil more than any other person of human history. He sells himself out to the devil more than any other person of human history. 3, subpoint 3, the Antichrist of the tribulation is one of two great dictators who emerge in the tribulation, the Antichrist and the false prophet. So the Antichrist is one of two great dictators who emerge in the tribulation, the Antichrist and the false prophet. Subpoint 4, he is the Gentile ruler of the revived Roman Empire, but in the last 3.5 years, he will become the dictator of the whole world. He is the Gentile ruler of the revived Roman Empire, But in the last half of the tribulation, he is made the dictator of the whole world. Subpoint five, he has many titles in the Word of God, and we just got started on those. He has many titles in the Scriptures. We studied the first one in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. He is called the man of lawlessness and the son of destruction. So in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, he is called the man of lawlessness, the son of destruction. We studied the second title for the Antichrist. He is called the beast from the sea. The beast from the sea, Revelation 13, 1 through 10, and we studied that last time. Now, that's where we stopped. So let's continue. Now he's called the man of lawlessness, the son of destruction. He's called the beast from the sea. Now, the next one, three, he is called just the beast. The one after that, he's called the beast on whom he's called the scarlet beast on whom the woman, the prostitute, rides. So he was the beast from the sea, Revelation 13, 1 to 10. Now, three, he is called the beast, Revelation 17. So let's start and turn over to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 17. At verse 11, it says, the beast. So while in chapter 13 he was called the beast from the sea, here he's called simply the beast. The beast, who once was and now is not, is an eighth king. He belongs to the seven and is going to his destruction. The ten horns you saw are ten kings. That's the revived Roman Empire. He is the leader of the revived Roman Empire before he becomes the world dictator, who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. They have one purpose and will give their power. They will give their power and their authority to the beast, the Antichrist. So he is, by proclamation, given power and authority, not only to rule the revived Roman Empire, but he will be given power and authority by the world to be a world dictator. We're going to see that in a moment. They have one purpose and will give their power and their authority to the beast. And they will make war against the Lamb, Jesus Christ. But the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. So, he's the beast from the sea, Revelation 13, 1 to 10. In Revelation 17, 11, 13, he is the beast. And now, fourth, he is the scarlet beast. The scarlet beast on whom the woman or the prostitute rides. And who is the woman? Ecumenical religion. Ecumenical religion. Revelation 17, let's turn back to verse 3. Revelation 17, verse 3. Revelation 17, 3, then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a desert. And there I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. The scarlet beast is the Antichrist. The woman is ecumenical religion, a worldwide religious system, ecumenical religion. I saw a woman, ecumenical religion, sitting on the scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had seven heads and ten horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. She had a golden cup in her hand. She was filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. This title was written on her forehead: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman, ecumenical religion, was drunk with the blood of the saints. In the tribulation, there will be great crisis evangelism. The two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, and the 144,000 super evangelists, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel, giving the grace gospel all over the world. And there will be many who will believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. But as this verse shows, and also Revelation 20 verse 4, they will be martyred, most of them will be martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. Once they place their faith in Christ, they will refuse to take the mark of the beast. And as a result of that, they will be, Revelation 24 says, beheaded. They'll be martyred for their faith. Most of those who believe in Christ in the tribulation, from the two witnesses and the 144,000 super evangelists, most of them will die. Be martyred for the faith in Christ. There will be a remnant that will be rescued by Jesus Christ at the second advent. And at the second advent, Jesus Christ goes to war with the Antichrist. All the armies of the nations that are there in the Valley of Megiddo, Armageddon, he will defeat all of them by the word of his mouth. Revelation 19 says the sword of his mouth. Joel 2 says that that sword is his word. He will simply speak and they'll die. And then Jesus Christ will establish his kingdom on earth, a 1,000-year millennial kingdom. And those survivors, those believers who survive the tribulation, all go into the millennial kingdom. And we are there. We come back with Christ as his bride. And the millennial kingdom is a 1,000-year wedding celebration. We're the bride, the royal family of God. We're the bride. Christ is the groom. 1,000-year wedding celebration. We're there. And then these survivors of the tribulation that are rescued by Christ, they are there. And then for 1,000 years, perfect environment. Perfect environment. What happened to climate change? Perfect environment. Perfect health. They're going to live the whole 1,000 years unless they commit a capital crime. If they commit a capital crime, they'll be executed. But otherwise, you'll live the whole 1,000 years. Perfect air. Perfect water. Perfect prosperity. No war. No war anywhere. Perfect peace. All of that for 1,000 years in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. So in verse 6 again it says, I saw the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints. Look at how many Christians are killed, slaughtered by religion. Ecumenical religion. The blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. When I saw her, the prostitute, ecumenical religion, I was greatly astonished. So he's called the beast from the sea, Revelation 13, 1 to 10. He's simply called the beast, Revelation 17, 11 to 13. He's called the scarlet beast on whom the prostitute, the woman rides, ecumenical religion, Revelation 17, 3 through 6. And fifth, he is called the little horn. The little horn in Daniel. So turn back to Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. The Antichrist is also called the Little Horn. Daniel 7, let's start at verse 8. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, a little horn. And the little horn is the Antichrist, which came up among them, and three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn, this little horn, had eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth that spoke great arrogance, arrogantly. And that is the Antichrist. And that's repeated about the Antichrist again and again and again in the scriptures. We'll see some of those other times. Now turn over to Daniel 7, verse 20. Daniel 7, verse 20. I also wanted to know about the ten horns on its head and about the other horn. The other horn is the little horn, the Antichrist, that came up, before which three of them fell. The horn, the little horn, the Antichrist, that looked more imposing than the others, and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great arrogance, arrogantly. As I watched this horn, the little horn, the Antichrist, was waging war against the saints and defeating them. So, not only is ecumenical religion killing Christians, that those who heard the gospel from the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, and the 144,000 super evangelists, but the Antichrist is also beheading and killing Christians during the tribulation. As I watched, this horn, the little horn, was waging war against the saints and defeating them, until the Ancient of Days, the Lord Jesus Christ, came, and that is the second advent of Christ at the end of the Great Tribulation, and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came when they possessed the kingdom. Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent, rescues the survivors of the believers who survived the tribulation, and they go into the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. Verse 23. He gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is the fourth kingdom that will appear on earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. The ten horns are ten kings who will come from this kingdom, and after them another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue the three kings. He will speak against the Most High. This is the Antichrist, the little horn. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints, and try to change the set times and the laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a time, times, and half a time. That's 3.5 years. That's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, the great tribulation. The last 3.5 years, that's when the Antichrist, who is the ruler of the revived Roman Empire, when he first comes on the scene, the Antichrist makes a treaty with Israel. At the beginning of the tribulation, he'll make a treaty with Israel to protect them and provide peace for them. That's at the beginning of the tribulation. But right in the middle, he will break the treaty. He will come into Israel, come into the rebuilt temple, and he will declare himself to be God. The abomination that causes desolation. He will declare himself to be God. And at that point, first of all, it's just a treaty with Israel. And he's not the world dictator. But at that point, he breaks the treaty, goes into the temple, declares himself to be God, the abomination that causes desolation. And now he demands that the whole world worship him as God. And now he is a worldwide dictator. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints and try to change the set times and the laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a time, times, and half a time. That's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation known as the Great Tribulation. All right, so he is the man of lawlessness, the son of destruction. He's the beast from the sea. He is the beast, Revelation 17. He is the scarlet beast on whom the prostitute rides, ecumenical religion. He is the little horn of Daniel, Daniel 7, 8, and 20 to 25, and 6. He is the abomination of desolation. He is the abomination of desolation. Turn over to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 15. And you see, this is the Lord Jesus Christ teaching this Bible class. And at verse 3, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Well, he goes on then and teaches the Bible class. But look at verse 15. So when you see standing in the holy place, this is in the temple, the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. When you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, that's the Antichrist, who will break the treaty with Israel and declare himself to be God. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. That's the sixth title given to the Antichrist. And in the temple, a statue of the Antichrist is put up, which is a sign for all believers to flee to the mountains. There's a seventh title, the Prince That Shall Come. Some translations have the Ruler That Shall Come. Daniel 9. So turn over to Daniel 9. The Prince or Ruler That Shall Come. Daniel 9. Let's start at verse 26. Daniel 9:26. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one. You know what the word is there? Sure you do. You're an enlightened congregation. In the Hebrew, it's Mashiach. That's transliterated Messiah. Mashiach literally means the anointed one. And the Greek equivalent of Mashiach is Christos. Christos means the anointed one. Mashiach means the anointed one. When the Bible says Jesus is the Christ, it is saying Jesus is the Messiah. But both of them mean Jesus is the Anointed One. Anointed One. Who anointed him? God the Father. God the Father designed Operation Grace, the cross, and God the Son is the Anointed One to carry out Operation Grace, to solve the world problem of sin. He is the Anointed One. So here we have, in verse 26, the Anointed One, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, will be cut off and will have nothing. There is the work, the salvation work of Christ on the cross, his spiritual death, followed by his physical death, and then his resurrection, ascension, and session to the right hand of God the Father. So the Anointed One, the Messiah, will be cut off. There is Operation Grace, the cross. And then it says, the people of the ruler who will come, or the people of the prince who will come. Now, notice it's the ruler who will come. And that is the Antichrist. The Antichrist will come in the tribulation period. But this is looking at the Operation Grace, the cross, and the people of the ruler who will come. That's the Romans. The Romans in the day of Jesus Christ, they were the empire of the world at that time. So the people, the Romans, of the ruler who will come, the Antichrist will be the ruler of the revived Roman Empire in the tribulation period. The ruler who will come will destroy the city. That is, following the Operation Grace, the cross, the Romans will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. All of that in verse 26 is the cross and the Romans destroying the Jews. There is no more Israel at that point. Now, between verse 26 and verse 27, we have an intercalation. We have a parenthesis. Guess what the intercalation is? The church age. So between verse 26 and verse 27, we have a parenthesis, an intercalation, the church age. Now, verse 27 is after the parenthesis, after the church age. He, and who is he? That makes me laugh because in Hebrew, who is he? He is she, and me is who? That's Hebrew. So when I say who is he, it's a joke for a pastor who studies from the Hebrew. He is the Antichrist. He, the Antichrist, will confirm a covenant with many for 1:7. He will make a peace treaty with Israel at the beginning of the tribulation. But in the middle of the seven, at the halfway point, 3.5 years in, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. He will break the treaty. He will go into the temple, and he will declare himself to be God and world dictator. So he, the Antichrist, will confirm a covenant. He'll make a peace treaty with Israel, with many for 1:7. But in the middle of the 7, 3.5 year mark, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. So he is the ruler or the prince that will come, Daniel 9, 26 and 27. Eighth title, he is the feet of the image. The feet of the image. Turn back to Daniel 2. Daniel chapter 2, the feet of the image. Well, first of all, let's start at Daniel 2, 19. Daniel 2:19. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank and praise You, O God, God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of You. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Now the king here is Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel is being held in Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar is the king. And the king Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. The dream of the great image. He didn't have a clue as to what it meant. He had all of his soothsayers come in and they didn't know what it meant. But God showed Daniel exactly what it meant. So this is the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And God gave Daniel the wisdom to interpret the dream. All right, now look over at verse 29. He says, as you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to the things to come. And the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation, and that you may understand what went through your mind. You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold. Now that represents the Babylonian Empire at the time of Nebuchadnezzar, king at this time that Daniel's living. The great empire of the time was the Babylonian Empire. So he says, an enormous dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold. That's the Babylonian Empire. Its chest and arms of silver. The Babylonian Empire was destroyed by the Medes and the Persians, and they became the next great empire, the Medes and the Persians. That's the silver. Its belly and thighs were of bronze. This is Greece under Alexander the Great, conquered the world. The empire under Greece, the bronze. Its legs of iron. That's the Roman Empire that defeated the Greeks. That's the great Roman Empire at the time of Christ at the first advent. The legs of iron, and then that's the Roman Empire, and its feet, partly of iron and partly of baked clay. And that's the revived Roman Empire in the tribulation. And who is the ruler of the revived Roman Empire? The little horn that we already studied. The Antichrist. He's the Antichrist, the little horn, is the ruler of the revived Roman Empire. He makes the treaty with Israel at the beginning of the tribulation, but he breaks it halfway through. The abomination that causes desolation and declares himself to be God. While you were watching, a rock was cut out. but not by human hands. This rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. And then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain. The rock striking the statue is the second advent of Jesus Christ at the end of the tribulation, the great tribulation, and became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ on the earth for 1,000 years. Verse 36, this was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. You, O king, are the King of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You, King Nebuchadnezzar, you are that head of gold, the Babylonian Empire. After you, another kingdom will rise, inferior to yours, the Medes and the Persians. Next, a third kingdom, Greece under Alexander the Great, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, the Roman Empire, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and the toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom, the revived Roman Empire of the tribulation, ruled by the Antichrist. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom, the millennial kingdom, the second advent, his kingdom on earth, that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hand. The rock is Jesus Christ. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. So, the Antichrist has many titles. The man of lawlessness and son of destruction, 2 Thessalonians 2:3. The beast from the sea, Revelation 13:1 to 10. The beast, Revelation 17:11 to 13, the scarlet beast on whom the prostitute, the woman rides, ecumenical religion, Revelation 17:3 to 6, the little horn, Daniel 7:8 and 20 to 25, the abomination of desolation, Matthew 24:15, the prince or ruler that shall come, Daniel 9:26 and 27, the feet of the image, the revived Roman Empire ruled by the Antichrist, Daniel 2:29 to 45. All right. So 1 John 4:3, as far as we have gone. 1 John 4 verse 3. But every persuasive speaker, every false teacher who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus, Orthodox Christology and soteriology, he absolutely is not from God. Indeed, this false teaching keeps on being the spirit of the Antichrist, about whom the Antichrist, you have heard that he is coming. He's coming in the tribulation, the Antichrist. But then he concludes and says, and even now, right now in the church age, already it is in the world. This is the conjunction chi with the adverb noon plus the present active indicative of ame plus the adverb ade plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of cosmos with the definite article. The conjunction chi is a continuative chi, we'll translate it and then the adverb noon. Looks like that. N-U, I know it looks like none, but it's noon. Noon, it means now. It means right now in the church age. Now when John is living. Now when John is teaching. The church age. Now in the church age. And then the verb ame is the to be verb. E-I-M-I. To be verb. And the present tense has linear action start. You would graph it like that. Linear action start. L-A-S. And what that says is right now in the church age, many antichrists keep on being in the world right now in the church age. The active voice, antichrist believers perform the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting this as reality, certainty, absolute fact. And the adverb, then we have not only the adverb noon, but we have another adverb, ade. And that is long E-D, long E, ade. And ade means, also means now, already. And then the preposition en, which means in. Means in. And then the dative singular of cosmos. K-O-S-M-O-S. Now, you know that this word, John has used this word in his first epistle of John. He's used it many times for the cosmic system, Satan's cosmic system. It's not used that way here. That is one of the ways that cosmos is used, but it's also used for planet Earth. And that's how it's used here. It's not referring to the cosmic system here. It's referring to planet Earth. It's the world of mankind, or planet Earth. It's used the same way as John did in John 3:16. God loved the world so much. He didn't love the cosmic system so much. God loved planet Earth, all the people on planet Earth so much, that he gave his uniquely born son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. So just as John used cosmos in John 3:16, that's how he uses here, the world of mankind or planet Earth. So, the end of verse 3 says this, and now, in the church age, he, the spirit of Antichrist, false teachers, keep on being in the world right now. Already. They're already in the world right now. So here's verse 3, now the whole verse. Pretty powerful stuff here. But every pneuma, every persuasive speaker, every false teacher who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus, The Jesus of the God-breathed scriptures, orthodox Christology and soteriology, he absolutely is not from God. Indeed, this false teaching keeps on being the spirit of the Antichrist, about whom the Antichrist, you have heard that he is coming in the tribulation, and now, right now in the church age, he, the spirit of Antichrist, false teachers, are already in the world. They're already in the world. They keep on being in the world right now as we speak. And that's why John starts out and says, stop believing any and every influential speaker and communicator of the Word of God. Examine them. Analyze it. There are those communicators, there are those pastors who are influenced by God the Holy Spirit, communicating the grace and truth of the Word of God. And there are pastors and influential speakers who are influenced by demons, who are communicating all of the evils of Satan and the ruler, human good and evil, sin, human good and evil in the world. So you must be on guard, especially in the times in which we live right now. I love my country. I love America. I love the freedom that we had tonight to assemble here to worship the living and true God, Jesus Christ. And it breaks my heart to see our nation turn away from God and the Word of God. It breaks my heart to see the nation I love in apostasy and degeneracy. I never thought I'd see this day in my lifetime, but I do see it. But we're here by the grace of God. That's the only reason why we're here. We're here by the grace and power of God. And what you're doing and what you decided to do tonight is the most important thing and the hope for our nation. The only hope for our nation is for those who place their faith in Christ to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, to live the spiritual life of the church age and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ to the maximum. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.